You are listening to episode 23 of the Paper Player Podcast. I'm your host, Tony, and we're here with a full crew today. And I'm here with my co-hosts, Jeff, Josh, and JB. JB, how was the tournament over the weekend, the NRG series?
A lot of fun because I got to do what I like to do the most, which is trade a whole bunch. I think I had a total of about $15,000 worth of cards and cash move through my hands throughout the weekend, which is pretty intense. Mm-hmm. You know, a large bulk of that was I sold my Tabernacle.
Yep.
Over the weekend, I just kind of thought the price was right, and me and the dealer talked for a little bit, or the owner, the tournament owner or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and kind of came on a price that I thought was good, and he wanted to go a little lower, so we rolled some dice, and I won, so we went up.
I love that. That's such a good... Dude, I don't know what it is about... Dealers? They just love the gambling aspect of the, like, wait a minute, you're telling me I can get this for cheaper? Let's roll.
That's what I was saying to everyone. I was like, dude, the people who own these businesses just want to gamble nonstop. And it makes me laugh.
A lot of dead time in like rounds 1, 2, and 3. Nobody's really doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
So no one's rage quitted to sell their whole deck yet.
I kept on watching for that to happen. It didn't really happen. At least not in the Legacy day. I was kind of busy in Modern. Because I actually did okay for the first two rounds, so I was a little more attentive. In Modern, I ended up going like 2-3 or something before dropping, but the first two rounds I played against, I'll give you a little breakdown. Elementals, game one, he bricked on 3 after I killed a Risen Reef that he had on a trigger, on the reveal trigger. And then game two, I Blood Mooned him on turn 3, and he just couldn't come back. I had like a slow win just because I kept on hitting lands a lot, but he just couldn't come back.
Yeah.
And then round two, I played the Mirror. The first game was a real close one. It was a lot of back and forth, but then they hit a second Murktide that beat me out when I had no answers for it.
Yep.
Game two, they flooded and missed their free card from their sac land for whatever reason, and we had a counterspell war over an Expressive Iteration that they cast, and I managed to counter it, and then I landed my own the next turn, and it was just over. And then game three... We both flooded, and they actually used their land properly, finally. But I ended up hitting a monkey that hit an Expressive Iteration off of their deck, and it was just over.
Yeah, that feels good. Wrecked.
Oh, yeah. Man, I got a bunch of free cards out of them.
The best I ever did was casting a Collected Company off of a Ragavan, and that felt really, really good.
Whoa.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet.
That's a huge beating. I mean, you probably whiffed on one of them. You probably just got one creature.
No, I got two. No, I did. I got one Ragavan, which was kind of a
Legend Rule, yeah.
Legend Rule, and I got a DRC.
Nice.
Pretty solid.
I was going to ask you, JB, real quick. You said you won the dice roll. How much would you have gotten for it if you lost the dice roll?
2.9. It wasn't really a huge difference, $100. But yeah.
Hey, man, $100 is $100. That's like...
Yeah, that's worth it. Yeah.
One Modern card.
It depends on which one, but yeah. I mean, yeah. The days of building Soul Sisters in Modern's long gone. That was like the $100 deck.
Yeah. I'm going to do it. I'm going to bring it back.
Yeah, good luck.
You go turn one Soul Warden, and they're going to go, okay.
Ragavan, go. Sick damn deck. It. They're just going to cast my deck with Ragavan.
No, perfect. They're going to play. They're going to go Living End. You're going to be embarrassed.
And then round three, I played against Burn. I had no early Murktide game one, so I lost. And then game two, I stabilized with a Murktide on the field, but I just couldn't get in for the... Like, I died one turn too late.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like it was one turn too late and I couldn't swing in for the win. And then round four, I played against New Jund. Game one wasn't even close. They had Renin 6 down a Ragavan and a Dragon Rage Channeler following up with a Tarmogoyf after already applying hand pressure with like Thoughtseize and stuff. So there was just no way I was coming back and it felt pretty bad. And then game two, I landed a turn 4 questionable Blood Moon, leaving them with a single Swamp and 2 Mountains. And then the next turn, when it was their turn, they dashed in a Ragavan and just stole a Dragon Rage Channeler for me and then played whatever they wanted because they had all that free color, you know, mana from the treasure token.
Yeah.
So it was just over. Then I kind of forgot what happened in round 5 because I didn't care anymore. In Legacy, I played the Mirror in round 1, mulled to 5, and then drew into 2 Dark Depths game 1, which, you know, put me back and it was over. And in game 2, the opponent, I showed him a nice little trick to do with his Urza Saga, is he had 2 Thespian Stage out, and I had an Urza Saga on 2, went to the draw for the turn, copied Myers' saga with my own stage, resolved the draw step, went to the sack, got the resolution from him, got Pithing Needle, and then named Thespian stage to shut both of his down while keeping mine up. And he was like, oh, yeah. Didn't realize.
Damn, what happened? And,
yeah. He used his Thespian stage while his opponent had two out that weren't copying anything, and his opponent allowed the Urza Saga to sack, meaning he got to get a one-mana artifact, and he grabbed Pithing Needle, naming Thespian stage, turning off his opponents while his was still an Urza Saga.
Yep, and because mine was an Urza Saga at that point, even if I played like a Dark Depths, I could still turn it into a Dark Depths because
it wasn't
the ability
Thespian stage.
Yep, exactly.
Wow, now that's clever.
Yeah, and then he realized that, and he was like, oh. He ended up still getting there just because he had two Valakut Explorations towards the end of the game and got four triggers in one turn on it and just dealt a ton of damage to me immediately.
Yeah, he just grinded you out.
It was a cute trick. Now watch this.
I always wonder why you played that card, because you only ever got like one or two triggers off of it, and I was like, why is he playing this card? It doesn't seem very good.
Well, it's because you're countering my crop rotations and stuff, so it's not like I'm getting extra triggers off it.
Crop rotation is a must counter card.
Oh yeah, I mean I lose a land from it, but when I don't have the ability to counter that, he can just go wild and play two crop rotations and get 100 triggers.
Mm-hmm.
Round two, I played against the Lurin combo. Game one, he ramped out of range, and I just couldn't keep up. And he ended up, you know, getting the combo going. And then game two, I Pithing Needled Cavern Harpy to keep the main deck combo off, because that's what I was assuming it was on, off of an Urza's Saga. And then he wished out of the board this card I didn't even know existed until that day. Tony, what's the name of it?
Asarak the Archlich. That's the D&D card.
Yeah, totally didn't know that was a card. So he pulled it out, and he was like, have you ever seen this before? And I'm like, no. And he goes, here's what it does. And he pulled out his little adventure booklet, showed me what happens.
The dungeon, yeah.
Yeah.
What happens?
So Asarak, it comes into play, and as long as you haven't completed Tomb of Annihilation, it comes back to your hand. One of the lost, whatever the middle one, the Delver, the or Pandelver of the whatever, Pathfinder.
It deals the damage.
Through a cycle, you can get, you know, a 1/1 goblin. So it goes, gain a lot, is it Scry? Maybe, I don't know. Either way, you deal, target opponent loses one life, you gain one life. And because it's not that one, you get to keep bouncing that one in, and the card costs three. So you just learn it, flashing it in, and just going like a million times. Like, you just keep picking it back up and going through the dungeon until they're dead.
That's an alluring combo.
Yeah, it was very interesting. I was like, oh, well, I guess I lose. And my...
That's a deck you could play. That's a bite.
JV, I don't think so. It's a wish deck, so it's difficult.
Yeah, I don't want to play that.
Just play the blue green one that we were talking about before with show and tell.
Oh, maybe. Just play,
Never. Round three, I played against Sneak and Show, so I was 0-2 at this point. The game one was not close. He had a turn two Grizzlebrand swinging in on me. I just, I'm just going to lose.
Yeah.
And then game two, I played a turn one Sphere of Resistance after like stacking the board on my side. I think I had like Exploration and a Mox Diamond. So I basically played out my entire hand with a Sphere of Resistance, which is terrible for him. And, I ended up getting Urza's Saga out and making big guys to swing in with and winning. And then game three, I had a turn one of Sphere of Resistance on the draw, followed by a turn three Pithing Needle off of an Urza's Saga, naming Scalding Tarn, and then also playing Choke on the same turn. So he was just like done.
Yeah,
he was done. He was really... I haven't really dealt with Salt very much lately, but that guy was so upset.
Well, he's 0-3.
He's that guy.
He's 0-3 in a Legacy tournament that he probably did a little bit of testing for, and he just had bad,
That's, like, terrible. That's, like...
That's the way it goes, man. Sometimes that's usually why you, instead of increasing your Salt, you just, after the 0-2, you just kind of lick your wounds and move on, man. That's why it's the 0-2 drop. You just give it up.
Well, I mean, and that's the way I look at it for big tournaments, too, is, like, even after the first two rounds in Modern, when I was, like, 2-0 or whatever, I was thinking, like, it doesn't matter. I need to be 4-0 before I should actually start really thinking and caring. Like, that's the point where it really matters.
If you did that to me, I'd take my deck to GameStop, bro.
Yeah.
I trade it in.
From, like, a saltiest moment, if I 0-2 for a tournament I've tested really hard for, that's, like, the saltiest I get. If I don't make, if I, like, miss top 8, I don't get salty. It's just, like, hey, like, Your opponent's running hot, you're running hot, somebody had to like peter out. It's just the way it goes. Like I haven't gotten salty. Now in top eights, because I've never got to like get to that finish line of taking first at a tournament, especially when it comes to a large scale, that I've always lost to the mirror match every single top eight. It's so annoying. And there it's never been close.
That's happened to me before, like round one in top eight, lose to the mirror. Oh, it feels bad.
I've lost to it every. I've had six top eights for PTQs back on the old system, and all six of them were a loss to the mirror every time. And it wasn't, they were blowouts every single time. That's just the way it goes.
Yeah. I ended up playing against Red Prison in round four, and they just pretty good. He had like a turn one or a turn two Karn on game one. And then in game two, he just kind of got there with a Chandra on the field. I just couldn't keep up.
Yeah, I mean, it's Planeswalker building, and then you have to care about its ultimate eventually, and then when it does ultimate, it's like, well, it's dealing too much damage at this point, I'm dead.
Yep, and I have no way to actually deal any damage to it being lands, so, other than Urza Saga creatures. So.
Or Pithy Needle to stop it, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah. My biggest pickups were, well, one, I sold the Tabernacle. I ended up picking up 4 City of Traders, 3 Talarian Academies, and a bunch of other random shit, but like a bunch of other random stuff. And the most interesting thing that happened was with the dealer, I traded in some stuff the day prior as well before I sold the Tabernacle, and they paid me $20 cash. Well, I turned it into store credit, but $20 of cash for Amulet of Vigors, which is definitely not right. And they're like $12 a piece or something, and he put it in the $20 pile, and I'm like, yeah, take all 4.
Yeah, get them out of here.
Right. And, and then I also saw that they had a Japanese flooded strand from Onslaught in the case. And I asked him how much it was. And the guy goes and looks at the computer and he goes, $65. And I go, that's not right. I'll buy that right now. And they're like $120 or something.
Nice. Go hotel internet.
That's also like a niche market. So like, yeah, it's listed at $120 somewhere or whatever, but ain't no.
No, mind. The fetches are a little different. It's weird stuff. Sure, I could see where it's a little tougher to move, but like fetches are a whole nother game.
It is, but it's still very like it's a whole nother game, but it's still on the grand scale very niche.
Yeah,
just saying, $60 ain't right.
Right, you still got a deal because like you're not gonna get rid of it for anything less than $120.
Yeah.
What version of Amulet of Vigor did you have?
It was the original, I think.
Because they are going for like $17. I mean, they still overpaid.
Yeah. 20 cash.
I didn't know they had a second printing, to be honest with you. I thought they were.
It was only Mystery Booster.
Oh, whatever. Yeah. And that printing has no impact.
It was cheaper. Like one of the foils, actually. So there was actually a lot of them. It was like in the foil slot.
Yeah. So there's a secret layer one. They're all right. Like it says marketplace is about 20, but like you can find them as low as like $15-16.
Sure.
Okay. But yeah, so I ended up doing a bunch of trading to finish off the
OG Type 2 deck. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. The memory jar deck.
Yeah. So back when it was called Type 2.
Yeah.
All right. So we got a list of topics today, guys. And really, I just want to hit 2 things. One, I wanted to see if we can try to solve Morrow's teasers of the new set. Because I think, what's it called? The Crimson Vow. All those spoilers start on Friday. And then I wanted to actually go. It's tomorrow? Okay. Tomorrow. So let's see if we can get in there and figure out some of these cryptic messages that are in there. And then some of the Watchies mistakes. I only say that because I was thinking on it the other day and like all the things that have come from Magic that have been good, but things I have always deemed as mistakes. So I would like to ask you guys about that. But before we get into that, JB, you got anything you want out of your bazaar, or did you $15,000 worth of trades kind of settle your hunger?
I'm pretty settled right now. I kind of moved everything out of my binder that hasn't been moving locally to the store to other people in the room. And you know, there was actually a pretty solid trade group just sitting in the corner waiting for people to come by. So that was
cool. Is there anything you're on the lookout for as of right now?
I mean, probably going to get another Valk soon, but that's about it.
JB's Bazaar, looking for Valks. Jeff, give me that bad card. What is it?
All right, so we were looking at Modern earlier today. I was looking through lists and kind of looking at the format because I'm trying to get more into Modern again for next month's energy. And my bad card of the week is Supreme Verdict. I feel like it's not fast enough. I feel like if you need to kill a Ragavan, a 4-mana removal spell to like kill Ragavan in DRC is just not fast enough. Ragavan's already done stuff. A lot of these other decks are just fast enough. Elementals doesn't care because they just play another one from their hand and Ephemerate, and you're just behind.
Yeah. They're so good.
I just I don't know. I think Supreme Verdict is it, and it's showing up as like a 3 and a 4 of. Like I could understand like a
you have no, it's a 4 of card.
But like why the format's just too fast for that?
Because it's
like,
so good. That's why.
See now, I think you think it's too fast, but the reality is the blue white deck from its like draw go days, the iteration of it has changed. It's changed so much that the fact that blue white now plays like main deck Chalice of the Void.
I was about to say a turn two Chalice on one is pretty bad for basically every deck out there.
Yeah. And they have two to three, maybe even four spreading seas in the main. So they're hitting the two linchpins of the format, which this is where blue white excels. And that's why you're seeing so much of like it doing well, because it can hit the top tier decks, which is one Raghavan decks just with Chalice of the Voids and Prismatic Endings. And then can also hit the Cascading Footfall decks with all their counter spells and Shark Typhoons and also that. And then Elementals. I know you said it wasn't a blow up, but the biggest card against them that I've always beaten Elementals with is sometimes you can catch them with two Risen Reefs down and then get them with the Supreme Verdict, and they've lost all of their card advantage. And a lot of like their Endurances and their Solitudes are just horrible against you because you don't play any creatures.
Right. Like I kind of grasp, like I understand that, but like if you're playing Chalice to stop like the one mana decks, which are like, you know, obviously like creature mainly decks, that stops Ephemerate, so that even affects the Elemental deck. And you're also playing, like, a lot of them are playing Prismatic Ending, stuff like that. You're playing Spreading Seas to get rid of Urza's Saga to stop that stuff. Yeah. Do you actually need the Supreme Verdict at that point? Because you're already shutting the decks down. They can't do anything.
You're cleaning up what's left.
You're wrapping the board. So if you get a late Chalice, then you get to Wrath, and then that's when it's like, okay, I'm at 5. I got the Chalice on 1, and now I have Wrath. The game is lights out from there.
Think of it this way. Would you pay 4 mana to 4/1 your opponent?
Yeah, I mean, that's
but that's the thing with everything else. Like, I mean, if you're 4/1, like, sure. But I still don't think it should be a 4 of, well, a 3 or 4 of.
It's necessary to play 4 of, though, because, like, in the right meta, you're right. But there's so many creatures running around now. It's so easy to rebuild. Like, all the decks are, like, designed to rebuild, that one Wrath isn't going to do it.
Well,
you gotta reload.
You get this weird like thing now, because with how like Supreme Verdict used to like play, it used to kind of be deserted in your hand in some matchups. But in the and some people that were skilled would be able to play around Supreme Verdict by playing like one threat. All those decks have upgraded to either play Prismatic Ending to deal with your one threat, and then once it's not Prismatic Ending, can't hit it, they'll just Solitude it by pitching the Supreme Verdict. They don't care.
Yeah,
that's fair. It does pitch to Solitude.
That's like biggest thing.
When I was on Blue White in Legacy, I was playing 3 of those in Legacy.
Dude, Solitude is the bee's knees.
It's super good.
Agreed. That card is very good.
It has filled the gaps of a blue. I mean, I think the NRG series, they had 15 Blue White decks in their meta, which is pretty high.
Because it came up, you said Spreading Seas. Foil Spreading Seas are like $100.
Yeah, it's only got one printing.
Yeah.
Dude, I actually think I have some.
Well, now it's time to go get them.
They're in demand right now.
Yeah. When that card's good, everybody, their mother wants to play it.
I think I have a non-foil one that has like fetch land written on the back of it.
it's pretty funny, but like it's just like that card was like so bad for so long, and then now that it's back in the limelight because of Versus, Field of Ruin has kind of served as like it's only really in the mill decks to force your opponent to shuffle at this point.
Right.
All
right.
You guys ready to try to decipher some of Mauro's teasers?
You're asking a lot here.
We'll go through some of it. I'm not going to hit all of them, but I just wanted to mention
one
of the things.
Hold up real quick. I don't mean to interrupt, but there's only 4 foil Spreading Seas for sale on TCG. One is 95, the next 2 are 190, and the last one is 335.
They don't exist. The people that have, like, it's a card from 2009. It was a common that a lot of them were just sitting in people's, you know, either bulk destroyed box. Or bulk box. Like, they're not heavily sought after, because after that format rotated, like, Spreading Seas hasn't been a card.
And all the foil ones, are already owned by all the Merfolk players.
Yep, yeah. Exactly. They're gone and gone. All right, so one of the things, I know this is just a teaser, but they have things that we can kind of try to decipher, but I know the counter types that are coming up, and this is what I hated, and this is what I hated about Ikoria, where they have counter types of Bloodline, Croak, Invitation, Judgment, Omen, Slime, and Suspect.
Yeah, I don't even know what that means.
Are these just going to be keywords?
No, they're counters.
Counters that go on things.
Like, yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like,
counters,
is it going to be like a keyword counter, or are these going to actually be like...
I don't think it's going to be a keyword counter. I think it's just going to be like, not, I don't think it'll have any like weight to it. If it's, as long as it's like just self-inclined to the, or self-involved to the one card, it's fine. But yeah, the second like you start being parasitic with it, where like you have to like keep track of like this specific counter, like
you're gonna have
the rest of the game, you're gonna have like problems.
I'm already frustrated because I don't even like sus.
If it's like this vampire comes in with a bloodline counter, as long as it has a bloodline counter, this creature is has indestructible or whatever, then it's fine.
Why so many bloodline, croak, invitation, judgment, omen, slime, stuff right. like that?
Fine,
it's like, so obnoxious.
I guess like it makes it so that you have to make them what? How many new cards every set? You have to like do something.
Yeah, that's what keywords are for.
Yeah.
These, all of these could have been keywords, and now that they're counters.
I loved what they did with the Forgotten Realms, where they had like the key, like the keywords were like a mechanic in themselves.
Yeah.
I loved that, and like that's something they could do in the forward.
But you also forward. You didn't have to keep track of them because it was on the card. With these right. counters, it's going to be real annoying. Like you already like technically have to carry on like vigilance counters,
that right. touch counters.
Yeah,
counters, all for my choreo. Not this that any little... of those cards are playable. Yeah, but
right.
This is adding seven more.
All right. What do you think the new mechanic that removes something that's never been removed for?
100%. It's going to be a Planeswalker emblem. Because what
yeah,
else is
the
emblem?
Yeah,
what else? Yeah. Emblems.
There's nothing else in Magic that has can't be removed that I can think of.
Or that has
maybe poison. Well, poison counters can even be removed.
Can
they? Can
you can, I thought
so.
You can remove counters.
No, because it's not a zone no, you can target.
Yeah, okay, the poison you can stop them from being put on. You can't.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Gisella
yeah.
does that. Yeah.
So I guess those are two things. It's got to be an emblem.
People I hope it's emblems because that would make it really interesting to see if it's playable in a EDH. In a format. Well,
I said EDH, I'd be cool with a 7-mana sorcery that just says remove a Planeswalker emblem. I don't need it for constructed. I want it for EDH.
Like, what EDH emblems bother you?
Teferi.
All of them.
Wait, which Teferi one?
6-mana Teferi.
You mean 5-mana Teferi?
No, the
draw 1,000 cards and bounce.
Oh, yeah.
The commander deck one. But I guess once they do that, the game's over anyway. So.
Yeah, what?
Yeah.
Elspeth is another one.
But that one, all those emblems are bad nowadays. They were good, like, in the iteration of, yeah. They're just
I'm also not talking from, like, a competitive EDH set.
Yeah, neither
like,
am I. I'm just
like, tabletop, have fun, where people play all their Planeswalkers.
Oh, you're going to take someone's Sorin's emblem? Like,
oh, yeah.
Plus one and plus all.
Punish
Whoa.
All, bro. Punish all.
Gideon.
Karn.
Yeah.
That 3-mana Gideon.
I was about to say, isn't there like one of the Planeswalkers makes like a junky emblem?
The 3-mana Gideon makes one that says yeah. you can't lose the game.
Okay.
Well, there's also 4-mana Gideon makes an emblem that says all your creatures get +1/+1.
Right. Okay, I know there's like another one too.
There's
that...
Sorin that does that, and there's a couple other ones. But
there's Chandra that does it too, I think.
Yeah, I think
Chandra. Oh, whenever you draw, lose, or at your upkeep, you take a damage.
Yeah. That so one. Maybe for that.
Popular, but I definitely think that's what it's going to be.
For sure. A popular and powerful creature from an Innistrad set gets reprinted.
Olivia.
It's probably Olivia.
I don't think it's going to be
or Olivia. Or Sorin.
Wait, no, I think Olivia's
oh,
going to be a
not
Planeswalker.
A creature.
I think Olivia's going to be a Planeswalker.
You think it's Tireless Tracker?
I think it's Tireless Tracker.
I'd be cool with that. No, but green is already obnoxious in Standard.
Yeah.
Good thing I don't play Standard.
A new artifact token along the lines of Clue, Food, and Treasure. So they're adding like a fourth version of like the trio. So it sucks because all the old cards that reference, like especially like that one
new one that just came out,
the artifact guy.
Yeah. So I don't know what that would be, but I bet you. So the food gains life, the clue draws a card, the treasure gains mana. I bet you it's just like a clue that's gonna be called like a rock where you throw and deal one damage.
It already is that already exists.
Well, then I guess a new one. I don't know
there is rock and it does 2 damage. There's
definitely a rock because I saw someone play a rock EDH.
I have that.
From,
I have it. I have it.
It's from
Commander Legends.
Yeah.
Okay, then I'm trying to think what would be the next ability.
It could be a one damage. It could be a one damage one.
There's one of those too, though. I thought, what's that one goblin that makes the like explosives or whatever?
Goblin Kaboomist.
I think so. Yeah, it's like I think that one.
Or whatever. Mines.
Yeah, I think that deals one damage.
We'll see.
A mechanic that first appears as a faction mechanic returns.
So like a spectacle is what that one's gonna be.
I was supposed to say, what's the Dimir one from?
It's that was be... Surveil.
Surveil.
It's 100% going to be spectacle
if it's Surveil. It's going to be real annoying because
probably
then
a spectacle. That's a Rakdos one.
It's 100% spectacle for the
spectacle is when you deal damage, do something.
It costs cheaper.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, okay. That's fine. I'm all right with it.
A new legendary creature card that combines two characters that have their own. This is where I think Olivia and Edgar are going to be combined into one card.
Who the heck is Edgar?
He's an EDH. Markov. He's the other.
Dude, that card straight out of its deck beat, like, the Edgar Markov straight out of the box beat my CEDH Gitrog monster deck. So that deck is so stupid.
Gitrog isn't a CDH deck.
Yeah, I'm talking about back when this deck was when Gitrog was the CEDH deck.
Okay.
Whatever.
No, I get what you mean. Like, isn't a CED type or a CEDH level. I'm just Yeah, but yeah. Yes, that deck was stupid. You just make a bunch of tokens and overrun
still,
your opponents.
It's still top tier.
Eminence.
Yeah, it's you don't even cast the card. It's the Eminence. And all the Eminence mechanics, like there's two of them that are really busted. The other one's kind of stunk.
They're all dumb.
We did skip one, a card that makes a red dragon illusion creature token with flying and haste.
I wasn't going to guess what that card was.
It's Rel'Zeric.
Maybe.
Even though I think he's dead.
I was trying to avoid the cards that, like, it's like, oh, this is a new card.
Oh, okay.
That, like, has a certain card. Well, this one's going to let you cast certain cards off the top. So this one's probably going to allow you to cast enchantments off the top. Because they've already done.
Give me that. I need that.
They're going to avoid. If they make it the artifact one, they're going
to. Bam.
Well, aren't they just going to wait for the Brothers War for that?
Yeah, maybe.
If they're going to do something like that.
A mechanic which mirrors of an already existing mechanic.
Well, that's like impossible.
Right. Exalted, but except it doesn't, it gives -1/-1.
You attack with your whole team. Everyone gets +1/+1.
It's going to be a new version of Flashback.
I already did that 100 times.
Isn't that just casting the spell?
Jumpstart.
Yeah, Jumpstart, that's true.
He's coming back as a vampire, though, boys.
It's gotta be.
Chandra.
No.
Because it says character. It does not say creature.
I think it's going to either be Thalia or Odric. Those are the two big ones.
Which one's Odric?
Odric's that, like, legendary, like,
I
three.
I think it's going to be the vampire, the
Sigarda. No, it says.
It's but now as a vampire.
Sigarda's been in the set printed, though. She was
in the last
in...
one. You know what? It could.
I think it's going to be Sigarda.
They're going to have two Sigardas in this block.
I mean, they've had like 9 Chandras in the same block.
Yeah.
That's different, though. That was in one core set.
Because I think what happens is they captured Sigarda and they're sacrificing her at the wedding.
Or what if it's they reanimate Avacyn, but instead of
and
reanimating
like,
her?
The artwork has Sigarda upside down and they're dripping her blood.
Okay. Then it could be Sigarda. I was going to say Odric.
It's Liliana. It's Garrick, dude. Vampire Garrick.
That'd be pretty dope.
Beast Mod Garrick.
It also says returns, which is also more supporting that why if it returns back from, you know, it was just in the last set.
It returns, fair. Or it could be Avacyn who's dead and that it returns from That's the dead. True. I don't know.
It's Raging Goblin. Don't even hate.
Oh, man. I'd be ready for it.
These other ones, I don't really know if we can decipher. Choose a number between 0 and 13. I don't know if we can do that.
It's good games.
Crossover, baby.
I do think the mana value one, I don't know if you're going to read that one, but with mana value less than or equal to the number of vampires you control, I think it's going to be like something's going to cost cheaper because of the vampires.
Yeah, well, they already had it in the last set. They had like some crappy 2/2 that when it came into play, deal damage.
Zombies you control have flying. What is this? Cats living with dogs?
Yeah.
That already exists. There's that blue one from
the
Spark.
War of the Spark.
Yeah, War of the Spark.
Yeah.
Is Desecration
it's
Demon
only
coming
zombie
back?
Tokens. It's
oh,
zombie
that'd be cool.
Oh,
I like
is that card even good anymore?
No.
Maybe in standard, but not in anything else.
Any opponent may sack a creature. I would yes, I would love to sack a creature. That
are they
sack.
Reprinting Parallel Lives to bring that card down from $50 to $4?
Which
hold
which
on, wait.
Heck is Parallel Lives?
That's bad doubling season.
Oh, yeah. That card. Okay,
$50. Twice that many of those tokens are created instead. Yeah, probably.
Unless right, Parallel Lives only tokens. Whereas doubling season, it does. Doubling season does work with tokens. Was this one?
Parallel Lives does it with is it creature tokens or is it because this one's just tokens in general? It
doesn't work with counters.
Yeah.
I don't think doubling season is the one that works. Doubling season does not work with counters.
Sure does.
Wait.
No,
yeah,
it does.
How else? Would,
it
yeah,
doubles
how
the
else
planeswalkers.
Would,
yeah, I was about to say when the planeswalkers.
Parallel Lives only does tokens.
Yeah. All the doubling token cards are like $40-some. They're always super high.
Right. I just want to remind you that this set is spooky because there's a bunch of 13s in it.
Angel Soldier, Slug Horror, Human Peasant, Kraken Horror, Vampire Noble, two new ones. What?
Serpent Egg is going to make a, it's going to be a Ruck Egg, but it'll make a serpent that can not be blocked.
Then if you control exactly.
Dude,
exactly,
what if Ragavan's coming back as a vampire? Zombie. And that's going to be a little Vampire Noble.
Vampire Monkey. That's my nightmare.
I wonder if the vampires in this set are going to be five colors. I only say that because on their product stuff, they have, you know, they have those color packs where it's like, it's a booster, but, you know, a themed booster. And they have one themed booster, which is vampire. And on the front of it, it's all five colors. Because Edgar Markov is white, so that's going to add white to the color pie of... that already existed in Ixalan. And then I'm not sure if there's any... Well, there are blue vampires because those existed on... in the Dimir Plains and Ravnica. The only, they don't have green vampires just yet, but there might be like a werewolf vampire. Who knows? Is it possible?
Yeah. Werewolf vampire?
Yep. Yeah. So we've tried deciphering this. We did a bad job. Obviously, I was right about Thalia. Those guys are wrong about everything else. And
Now, you know, you weren't the only one who came up with a detailed answer. Josh had a pretty detailed answer.
It was it was a right angle, right?
Yep. Right angle.
All right.
Pretty confident in the Sigarda and the Spectacle one, though.
Yeah, you seem pretty pumped about that Sigarda thing.
I think Spectacle sense. Definitely. I don't know about Sigarda yet.
Well, Brazella, or what was it?
Is it? What is it? Brucella.
Brucella. Those ones died because they got smashed together from Emrakul.
They're dead. Sigarda's the last one. And well, I guess no, the black-white one is still alive. She, like, Avacyn lied.
Oh.
She said she killed the black-white one, but the black-white one's still alive. She was just in the last set, whatever her name is. Lisa.
Well, I phrase this as Watsy's mistakes, and then I don't want to come off as negative on this, but things that have existed either in-game or a specific rules change that you thought might have been like negative towards the game, and then kind of a non-gameplay policy or product that they have maybe have removed or overdone. What do you think those, like...
I want you to go first. You always go last. You're going first.
Fine. So
we can get your eight-hour talking out of the way.
No, this is the best.
And then we'll just shut you down whenever we're talking about our things instead.
Nice. So the thing that I'm sad about that they got rid of was dual decks. I really enjoyed those. I love the idea of just being able to like go to like a local Walmart or Target, buy it and play it with like a friend. Like just pop it open. Those are kind of have been removed. You can't really do that anymore. So the only thing downside was that those products didn't really sell well if they didn't put like a premier card in them. Like I remember the Jace versus Frasca, people only bought it because there was an $11 remand in there.
Yeah.
But they were only $20 anyways. They weren't expensive.
Yeah. That was before remand had actual reprints.
Right. But that's
like we're just talking about a dual deck as being an option for reprinting cards. More options.
I miss From the Vaults.
Yeah.
I liked those.
The removal of Mana Burn. I wish Mana Burn was the thing.
Agreed. That's entirely my EDH deck.
I think those are the watching mistakes that I have not appreciated.
Do you think Mana Burn, what would affect Mana Burn now? What kind of decks would have problems at the moment? Infinite
mana combos or whatever?
No, because they went on that turn.
People roping. I think people roping, that would solve the issue too.
Well, I'm trying to think of a deck that's like playable right now.
The Primeval Titan decks, there was still like three or four leftover mana. Because they have those double lands.
Something recently where you could make a bunch of mana.
Also punishes Mana Drain in EDH.
Yeah.
Somewhat. It's not great. It's like, oh, you take three damage because you didn't spend the other, you know, of the seven.
Oh, whatever. You still got seven mana to ramp.
It also makes like Soul Ring possibly start dealing damage.
Mana Crypt, all those things. I know Mana Burn felt bad. And the reason why it felt bad is because of Mindslaver. That's really all it is. If you just like ban Mindslaver, nobody cares about Mana Burn.
Bring back Mana Burn. I want to play Mindslaver.
Yeah, well, that's why I felt bad. Because you're like, oh, you're going to beat me. It's like, I'm going to Mindslaver you.
Oh, man. Thank you for reminding. Okay, I'm in.
If anything, that just speeds it up.
Yeah, that's all I want. All right, Josh, what do you got for your mechanic or game rule change that you thought was a mistake?
Phyrexian Mana is like the first thing that came to my head.
That's a big one. It's Color Pie Break. It was a bad one.
Mm-hmm.
I think it leads to some interesting things and makes some really weird decks, but I understand where you're coming from just because it makes it a little too easy to not have to worry about color.
Yeah.
When you're choosing your land base and stuff.
I'm weirdly on the other side of this. I agree that Phyrexian Mana like has like there were some cards that were too good. But I like it because it does give colors options to be able to deal with things, so you're not forced to play other colors.
It doesn't mean that every card that came out of Phyrexian Mana is bad. It just means that it is a mechanic that can cause a lot of chaos in with very little effort. I am all for what is the name of that card?
If they would have
Dismember.
No, the one that digs out of the graveyard.
Surgical Extraction.
Yeah, Surgical Extraction. I'm so glad.
I think that one's the most egregious.
Why?
Yeah.
Because you have you're not playing black. You don't get extraction effects. You get all the artifacts that are like Relic Progenitus. You just don't get to like strip people of stuff.
I agree. I think Surgical Extraction is too powerful. The one I'm mainly thinking about is Dismember. And like, granted, it doesn't get played as much, I don't think, anymore. But I liked that mono red could play like an actual removal spell that could surround like indestructible, or mono white had something to deal with that wasn't exiling, giving you a land in modern.
It was still like poorly thought.
You still had to pay mana for that one, whereas the Gutshot, Mental Misstep, Surgical Extraction, Noxious Revival, Mutagenic Growth, those didn't cost mana. That was the issue with those.
But they cost life.
Like, signed off on Mental Misstep. Was like, you know what, let's send it to the printers.
That was the most busted one, I think, out of all of them. I mean, Gataxian Probe's pretty gross, too.
There's some real bad ones, but...
Mental Misstep might be more busted than Luris.
It's pretty close.
Mm-hmm.
Josh, what is your outside the gameplay or card mistake?
Not a mistake, but I think that... The mistake is that every box doesn't come with a box topper. Every single box you buy should come with a box topper.
It did for a minute.
Yeah, should. With those Modern Horizons stuff or the whatever, but they've replaced the box topper with collector packs. They want people to go and buy collector packs.
No, I want give me my box topper too.
Well, Ikoria had a box topper for you.
Yeah,
and Zendikar Risings did too. Because that's how you got fetch lands and the
fast lands. Give me a box topper. Every single set should have a box topper. That was like the coolest they ever did.
Question.
Yeah.
Would you rather have a playable buy a box or would you rather have a box topper?
Let me tell you this. The buy a box they have going on now. I mean, we saw this. No, we saw that horrible one where it was like, we made Nexus of Fate. You can't
get it. Yes, agreed.
All the other ones since then have been atrocious.
Yeah, because everyone got mad. I don't mind a buy a box when it's a good card that's printed in the set. That's fine.
To me, it doesn't even have to be like when they did Birds of Paradise.
Well, that's a good card.
I miss when you would get Mythics, like when you got like Emrakul as your buy a box promo or your...
Those were pre-release.
Wormcoil Engine.
Yeah, those are all pre-release ones.
Oh, sorry, pre-release. But nonetheless, what was the Biobox promo for those sets, though? It was like Tezzeret.
Day of Judgment.
It was always a rare. They always made it a rare. They made... The pre-release always had Mythics, and then the release always had rares. The whatever it was.
Dude, Johnny Vengeant was the one for...
Shards of Lara.
That one was great.
Dude, all the cards...
It had some sweet art, too.
Uh-huh.
I agree. I would be cool with a buy a box every time. Or not a buy a box, sorry, a box topper.
Box toppers are sweet.
Mm-hmm. And it does help you feel better if you get a bad box. Like, if you open a good box topper. Like, well, granted, my box is trash, but I still open this really cool card.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
There are people that go out there and hunt down, like, yeah, which one had them? The Double Masters, like, those ones had sweet box toppers, and people hunted down.
See, that Force of Will is, like, $800.
Yeah, that one's awesome. That one was an awesome one, and I think there was one before that was, like, the Full Art Liliana. Man, they have not redone that Liliana the Veil Art, and I'm hoping
it was Ultimate
do.
Masters.
Yeah.
Great.
That was Ultimate Masters, and the Cavern of Souls Ultimate Masters.
I think that was the first time they did that.
Yeah, and that's why that one sold really well, because everybody wanted to collect all 40 of them.
Well, that's when everyone got the free one, too, for, I think it was the...
Issues
mythic
with
editions. Box. Yeah, the issue with the mythic edition boxes.
No. That's not what that was. You got an uncut sheet of War of the Sparks.
That was for War of Spark. I'm talking about the first mythic edition box, which was Dominaria.
Gotcha.
Oh, yeah, dude. They just went right to collector boosters. They're like, all right, we're done with doing
we're
these.
Done.
Like,
yeah.
These things are atrocious.
Yeah,
well,
those,
no,
like,
people wanted them, though.
So
they
bad.
Were great.
That like release thing for their mythic editions was so terrible.
Yeah, well, that's the problem, is the distribution was terrible, but everything else about it was great. People wanted them. They were great.
You just had to treat them.
How does Wizards live 30 years in the past? Like, they're still...
flash sale, we gotta do this like Black Friday. It's like, just do like what you do with your secret layers. Have the sale be open for 20 days and have it have pre-orders. And once the sale's gone, it's gone.
Print to order. Yeah. Easy peasy. Well, I mean, that's what they did.
Well, they didn't do that. They didn't do that. They didn't print to order. They had to
limit it. It was 24 hours.
Now do that.
Oh, yeah. Well, here's the downside with that is the Mythic, the whole point of the Mythic Edition was it was a booster box. So you want to be able to ship these things out within a reasonable time frame, within like a week of the set being out. So you could, you had to have these pre-made and exist. So, and that's why there was a limited amount of them. The problem is everybody sets up a bot who's going to do it and has, you know, like 30 or 50 or 100 instances of Windows running, and they just set the bot up. At this time, you see this, you buy it.
Right. I didn't even think I was going to be able to get my foil sheet, and then I got it in the mail, and I was pumped.
Yeah, I still have mine. JB, what do you got?
So I really wish they changed the legend rule back.
Which one?
And I know there were two. Yeah, there were two changes when we started.
Three. Well, there's three, I think there's a total of three iterations of it, or four iterations of it, where this is the current one, but we've gone through two, but there's been three total.
So here's what I'd like from the legend rule. I'd like the ability for Dark Depth stuff to still work, because I think that's a fun combo, like a weird, interesting way to make it interact, and you should be able to choose which legend you keep on the field.
Yes.
But I think your opponent's legend should also affect your legends.
Yeah, so
you
think,
I missed that rule.
Do you think Phantasmal Image should just be a 2-mana kill target legend? Sure. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Why not?
It's just the mind game of it. It's a feel bad for EDH specifically.
Okay, well, I don't care about EDH.
I think that's why they changed it.
Well, they changed it because people would play the commander and someone would go Phantasmal Image. Yeah, like,
well, you just keep the rule the same for that.
Yeah, I mean, EDH already has its own rules, so like, why not?
Fair. Yeah.
So I would really like them to bring that back, because I really like the days of playing the 3-mana Jace so your opponent couldn't play the 4-mana Jace.
Oh, that's a Planeswalker. That's a different one. That's that that one got, because I mean, you could always play two.
The Planeswalker rule is different now. Yeah. It's a separate
it's a separate rule, but you could always play like two different Thalias. Mm-hmm. You could not play two different Jaces, and they changed it because they had War of the Spark coming and they didn't want people to be like, well, I want to play both my Jaces.
Well, I want to change back to that completely, to what it used to be.
Yeah, where there's a single like instance that of them. Yeah.
Yeah, because how are you going to have two Jaces on the field? You're not
going to be time traveling, bro.
Legend rule, you could only have one copy of it in your deck, period.
I don't. Was that what it was? I think the rule. So, from what I understand, the rule was you played a legendary creature, and if you had it out on the field, your opponent couldn't play theirs. Like, they couldn't actually cast it.
Good.
And then the second iteration of that came by where they played it, and if they played it, they both died. And then the third iteration, the third iteration is like we both can have a copy of it, whatever. And then that came with Innistrad, because I remember Olivia Voldaren's basically mirroring each other all the time. And then the way you would kill it would steal Olivia Voldaren with the other ability, and then sacking it. Yep. And then the Planeswalker rule change, which is another, you know, legendary. Well, they added the legendary type to it, so then it could fall under the legendary guise. Because before, they're just Planeswalkers, and now they're legendary Planeswalkers.
Yeah. So you know where I want to be. I want to be in a place where when you play two on the field, they both sack.
All right. Any outside of the game mechanics that you don't like?
Not mechanics, but something I wish we could go back to is I really like the old border style. I would gladly take the old border style, even if it meant for reprints we had to do white border. I would not care.
I hope you choke.
I would play white border. I'm willing to take a monkey's paw here and say that the old borders coming back, we have white border come back with it.
I mean, the foiling process of how the old foils just looks just superior. Oh, new good. Foil, the new cardstock, I mean, they've changed it multiple times now. I mean, they've even changed like how legendary creatures, like how their portrait looks. They have like that stupid flare at the top. I'm like, just whatever. Who cares?
But that's like what I'm saying, is like, just bring me back that old border where each one had its own distinguished like look to it.
Yep.
That really fit the theme of the kind of cards you were playing in that color.
All right, Jeff.
Felt like a magic card.
Jeff, what you got?
So the mechanic one, I honestly think Foretell is a terrible mechanic that shouldn't exist. I know it doesn't see like that much play and it's more just standard, but like literally putting your cards in a zone that can't be touched by anything just seems like, I don't know, it just seems too good. Kind of like how adventures existed. Adventures existed in like an area you could never touch.
Well, you could touch a foretold card. It goes in an exiled zone, right?
It's face down exiled.
Right, but you can hit it with like devoid cards or those stupid.
Those only touch face up.
It specifically say, I thought it's just like remove or take exiled card. Does it say it's face up exiled card?
I'm pretty sure it's face up.
Oh, I thought you could play tricks with those and just like Oblivion Sower, take all your stuff.
And I actually think Foretell is still a separate area than that, but still, no, like, yeah. that mechanic in general to me just, like, it's the whole problem with, like, Elrond's Epiphany. Like, one way to deal with that card in Standard and being too good in Standard is just to, like, strip it from their hand. Well, you can't do that.
Yeah.
Because on turn two, unless you're, like, duressing them turn one, turn two is just gone. You're never touching it.
Maybe that's the issue with the Elrond's Epiphany. That's probably where they screwed up. The fact that you can protect
it. I think if it didn't have Foretell, I think that card would be perfectly fine. Because it would cost 7, and that's fine. Mm-hmm. I did have a second one, too. I had missed damage on the stack.
Dude, no.
Oh, that was a good thing.
That one is too much of a headache.
Come back.
No, it's too confusing for new players. And it's thematically doesn't make sense. So I hate it.
Yeah.
That was a good thing.
I'm fine with being gone. I know you really, really want to sack your...
Hellhit Mog Fanatic, bro.
Yep, Mog Fanatic.
Made versions of it where you could do both now. You get that
true. Goblin Arsonist. Whenever it gets blocked.
No, Goblin Arsonist, it just when it dies, it deals 1 damage. It's the same thing. Like, it's a 1-1 that when it dies, it does that. So you no longer need the damage on the stack. You just need to make sure it dies.
Yes, that's fair.
It's just, they literally removed that rule, and the next core set had Goblin Arsonist.
Right.
And that card saw 0 play, and it was, I mean, whatever.
Don't care. Still mad.
Yeah. Imagine what you could do with Lurrus.
Yeah. And mistake for product wise.
It can be anything. It doesn't have to be like specifically product, and but
honestly, all the commander decks that come out.
Too many.
There's just too many. I love Commander for its uniqueness, but I definitely agree with like a majority of people when they say like I hate Commander pushed product.
I agree with that.
You're just creating more expensive like Commander staples because they're only being printed in a Commander deck that lowest you can find is like $40.
Yeah, I mean the especially when they do free spell ones like the
counter spell. I cannot stand Fierce Guardianship. That was an unnecessary printed card.
Hey, you want one? I got one for trade.
No, I want to. If anything, if you give it to me for free, I'll burn it in front of you. How about that?
That's all lose.
Yeah. Well, let me borrow it. You might not get it back.
Oh yeah.
You can play Force of Will, Force of Negation, and it costs you a card. Literally, the only cost for playing Fierce Guardianship is playing your commander, which is something you have to have.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right. I don't like it. And then the other ones are Deadly Rollick, and then the red one. Those three get played. I don't know if the white one gets played. Probably casually does.
Yeah, it does. I played it. It makes your creatures indestructible.
I have no idea what the green one does.
Fog. Green one's bad. One's bad. The black one's not that great either.
That one's good. It's free. It's like, kill target commander.
I guess that's fair. The red one's redirect. Yeah.
Yeah. That one, you take their counter spell and target their counter spell with it. No. Target your stuff.
I even think Arcane Signet was unnecessary.
Yeah. Even Gavin admits that he designed that card and he admits that was a big mistake.
Well, Arcane Signet?
Yep.
Yeah, it's bad. It's auto include. They already have enough of those. Like, we don't need any more auto includes.
Yeah. And
you told me there's not 15 cards that go into every single EDH. That's
there is. They're all mana rock.
Yeah, yep. What? Who said that?
15?
I swear we've had the discussion where there's 15 cards that go into every deck.
And then if you count, there's lands too. Like a lot of the time, most decks want to run Reliquary Tower, so there's land. You're going to want to run some form of Strip Mine.
Yeah.
I argue that Thespian Stage is a card that should be in most EDH decks.
Oh, maybe. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, maybe. Well, we missed a whole bunch of stuff. We didn't talk about London Mulligan, no more support for Legacy, War of Spark, Commander Products, Mythics.
I didn't want to bring up London Mulligan rule because Secret Lair, 45-minute tangent.
From the Vault, Reserve List, the banning of X cards, Challenger decks, exclusive Planeswalkers, Box Toppers, Unglued sets, Conspiracy, Foiling Process, the loss of DCI Reporter, GP is going to one vendor, Mythic Championships instead of Pro Tours, Paris Mulligan, Modern Horizon Products in general, Living Weapon, Jace the Mind Sculptor, and random, going to the bottom.
We have plenty of time to talk about all this in other episodes.
Magic Player Rewards.
Hold up.
Oh, man, don't
know Paris Mulligan. Paris Mulligan is the one that came before London Mulligan.
Oh, okay.
The one with the scry.
That was the best one.
God, bring back. Yes.
I like this one.
No, that was good. That's because you play lands. Be quiet, JB. Yeah. You need the London Mulligan rule for that deck.
I want my Tron to work.
Yeah, like the London Mulligan rule buffed Tron. That was like it.
Yeah, sure, whatever. Who cares?
That's what we're calling a show, boys.
Wait.
On Discord. What?
We gotta do one shout out
to
Phil for making it to the top eight.
Yes, Philly.
That was right. Homeboy.
Yeah, good congrats, job, man.
Yes.
What was he playing?
He was playing Red Moon.
Yep.
Blue Moon. Oh yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, he was just running over fools, but God,
Red Moon is a good card.
It is.
Yep. Especially in this meta. But yeah, that's it. Check us out on Discord. I'm going to put that in the show notes. Josh, take us out. What's your hot take?
Soup in a bread bowl is a sandwich.
Oh my God, I hate you.
It's Wednesday, my dudes.
How is it a sandwich?
It's
how?
If how? You were to use peanut butter instead of soup, you would call it a sandwich.
No, and, you know, you're putting things between the bread.
Oh, yeah, it's not right? Between anything because it's one solid piece of bread.
No, it's not solid.
It's got a cap. It's got a cap.
Hold on. Oh, wait a minute. Without the cap, is it a wrap?
Yes.
Oh, my God. Can we?
Which is also a sandwich.
Soup wrap.
Oh, my God. Next. All right. Half-assed. It's a hot dog a sandwich?
Yes.
No.
What is a taco?
Yes.
Taco's a sandwich?
Can't no.
Yes. Fries and ketchup is a sandwich.
No, it's not. If you look up sandwich, it specifically says two pieces of bread.
You do need two pieces. If they're connecting, that's a submarine.
I'm of the family that any
I'll
two,
give you a hot any, dog is a sub. A grinder,
anything that's two components is a Hold sandwich.
you ever make a pizza sandwich where you just take two pieces? A
it's
pizza.
Called a quesadilla.
Two pieces of pizza and just fold it on top of each other. Bam, yeah, sandwich. Yeah.
Put some ranch in between
It's a self-made sandwich. It's got cheese, sauce, and meat already right there. You don't have to do anything. It's
I would argue that's a grinder then, because isn't a grinder what a hot sandwich is called?
No, I don't know what apps you're using.
What's a hoagie? What's a hoagie versus a grinder?
I don't know, man. I'm not.
There are rules to sandwiches, but
good night, boys.
Bye-bye. We already decided that Coletti was Google, so you ask him.
I did. I told you.
Uh-huh. When did we have that discussion? I don't know.
In the group
that.
Chat.
It's always in the group chat.
Yeah, we always call him Google when we don't want to look up something, and Tony's like, look it up. We're like, you're Google.
Yeah, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing your work for you. I never will. Bye bye.
Yeah, but
all about the touch.
All the onslaught.
The cards up to my lips to make sure they're real.
Wow,
that's the way to do it.
Freak.
The old kissaroo.
Hold on, let me trade you for this $200 card. Let me check it out. Hold on.
You should do that once. See what someone does.
This thing tastes
like,
right.
My lips are way more sensitive than my fingers.
Like, Magic players are so like
weird
and like introvert. They're like, they will probably just approach you and then be like, "Hey man, what are you doing?"